Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Hello and welcome back to Marvel DC Kings, a Four Midwest Guys production. How you guys doing tonight? I'm your host, Ankenbauer. With me tonight is B. Willie.
What is going on?
Not much, man. And Aaron.
Yeah, man.
Hey, what's up? All right, so we got a bunch of new shows still. We're still in our full swing of our back to the new seasons of everything. Where before we hit our pre-winter hiatus where they go a couple weeks without new episodes and everything else that always piss us off.
Yeah, like the December hiatus, yeah.
Right, so we're let's start with Flash this time.
All right.
I thought Flash this week was way better than last week. We get, you know, the new Harrison Wells where they send out the message.
Quick question, how do you feel about the new Harrison Wells? Like, it's kind of hipstery Harrison Wells, right?
Yes.
Very much hipstery, but I thought it was funny seeing the Harrison Wells from all the different Earths, and they're like, this is Harrison Wells from Earth 17, and it was a cowboy.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I had a bad dinner. And like, and it was, and they're like, next. And then it was
how does that society function with advanced technology? Yeah,
one was a mime, and then one looked like, what is that? What's that one? What's that one? That one style?
Steampunk.
One was steampunk, and then this one was like he was like a hipster, like trying to pretend he was younger.
Yeah.
I thought they were all pretty funny that they were going through all these different worlds.
It was a funny little sort of like gag sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how I feel about the character. Like I'm kind of giving it a couple episodes to see how I like the take on it.
Well, from the way the trailer looks for the next one, it almost looks like it's a ploy.
I hope so, because Marvel DC Kings, I was saying how much I want the evil Harrison Wells back, and maybe this is the doorway to that. I would like to have that back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that, and you also have, like, the other Harrison Wells who's like, nah, I don't really trust him so far, and they're like, oh, he looks fine, come on.
Yeah.
You're just, you don't like, want to be replaced.
I always go with my gut,
yeah,
and he does not seem right.
Right. Yeah.
What do we think about Mirror Master?
I thought it was an interesting take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... Like, you kind of have, like, a traditional gangster sort of character who is kind of given the abilities. He's kind of lost his memories from the last couple years, so he kind of goes back into the same old thing. And to be honest, like, I didn't like the name for Tops, but I thought she was an interesting character.
Yeah, that was the worst, was the fact that they called her Top.
Yeah, like that's like the character's fine. Like she gives people vertigo.
So why not call her Vertigo?
Yeah, but no, they
call her Top. I mean, granted, in the comics, her name is Top, but for the show, she needed to be more than Top.
Yeah,
well, even Topsy Turvy would be better than just Top. But
yeah, like Topsy would have been okay.
Yeah,
like I see where you're going with it, and like even the show, the reference, like oh, because you keep going round and round in a circle. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
it's like I like it. Like it's self-referential in it, but like I actually think Mirror Master is kind of an interesting character, and it's like a one like Flash is like kind of bigger villains, arguably.
Yeah, I would like to have been a little bit smarter, though. I think I don't like.
Yeah,
him
he's
being,
not.
Yeah, he's pretty stupid.
Yeah, there's no real sense like he's a mastermind sort of thing. He's just like, oh well, can't kill the one dude. Guess I'll get money.
Which is probably a good thing for the first episode against Mirror Master. I just hope somehow he gets smarter. I don't like him as a thug, I guess. Maybe that was just my impression.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about was Caitlin desperately trying to hide her powers.
Mm.
You know, she was in the shower.
Yep.
And the Caitlin snow shower scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, the water starts freezing on her.
Yep. Mm.
And her lips turn blue.
Yeah.
In this episode, and then she also gets the one streak of blonde
white hair. Yeah.
The funny part about that is, like, she cuts the one bit off. Is like, you can't just keep doing that like on a nightly basis. Like, you're going to be bald real quick.
Yeah. Like she cut it off, but she even left a good inch and a half.
Yeah, up in there.
Up in there.
I wouldn't be surprised if next episode she has her hair dyed or something to try to cover it up.
That's yeah, like that. I could see dyeing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, with white hair, that'd be pretty easy. But, like, don't just keep lopping it off.
I guarantee you next episode is going to be, why are you wearing lipstick? And why'd you dye your hair?
Yeah, and my thing is, just because she's getting these powers...
Doesn't mean she's evil.
Right, I was like, do you think she's becoming Killer Frost? Or she's just getting those powers?
I think she's just getting the powers.
I think she's getting the powers, and I think, even though Barry's changed the timeline, I think she knows what Killer... Still knows who Killer Frost was.
I think they still know. That's why Cisco knows who Vibe was.
And I think that's why she's hiding it.
Yeah, I think she's paranoid about it to a certain extent. She's uncomfortable with it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean...
And the other... do you think... do you think it only happened, like, we saw this change because she used her power to get Barry out of the glass?
I think it advanced it, yeah. I think it advanced her powers.
Like, it's a scenario where, like, the more she uses them, like, the more it'll kind of unlock.
Yes. Think it's like that?
Oh, yeah.
I could see it.
All right. Well, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I don't know what
I actually really liked the episode.
I thought it was really good.
All right. Let's go from that one. We'll jump into Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
So it was the Shogun episode with the samurais and the ninjas. You know, Brian, what was your favorite of the episode?
The whole episode. I really kind of dug the Shogun. I like putting them in that time period. Actually,
what, like feudal era Japan?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a little, maybe stay another episode there personally. I kind of dug that. I like the idea that the Atom had to learn how to be a hero without his suit and, you know, kind of figure out that he can still be a hero, and it's not just the suit that makes the hero, it's the man, you know.
Well, they've kind of been playing with that a little bit this season.
Yeah, and so I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, too, going forward. I love the other thing I'll say is the secret compartment scene with the voice print from Future Flash is very intriguing.
Because they didn't really say what it is.
Right.
But he just says, don't tell the rest of your crew this.
Right.
But somebody needs to know.
Because it was for the captain, who's now gone.
Right.
When they find the extra chamber. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The secret chamber. Yeah. That was definitely the highlight, probably, really, when I think about it.
That was your highlight?
Yeah. That now that I think about it. Feudal Japan was cool, but the Barry thing was obviously a... Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had a pair of different ones. Aaron, you didn't get to watch the episode,
No,
did you?
I haven't caught this one.
Do you care if we...
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, like, one of mine was, and I'm surprised this wasn't one of yours... Yeah. Was the who taught you? And he said
Star Wars.
Right? He said Yoda, and she's like, "Well, Master Yoda was very smart and wise.
Very wise, yes.
Because he used the line, do or do not, there is no try." And she's like, "Yes. Who taught you that?" And he's like, "Yoda." And she's like, "Well, your Master Yoda was blah, blah, blah.
Very wise.
Yeah, very very wise master.
Your Master Yoda taught you very well at the end of the episode, which is hilarious."
And then my other part I really liked was the when Rey was talking to the dad, the guy who gave him the armor to fight and gave him the sword to use. He goes, that sword seems familiar. What was your last name? Like, what was your family name?
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, it is actually Katana's.
Oh, okay.
So that's where she gets the blades from.
That's her ancestor,
like lineage down the line.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of...
That's kind of a nice little throw. Yeah, they realized that.
It was a good tie-in for the show.
Have they actually had that character in the TV universe yet?
Yes, she was on Arrow.
Oh, okay.
She was on Arrow for like 2 seasons.
Yeah.
That's when Oliver was in Japan.
Mm.
It was Katana's husband. They tried to save their son from getting some kind of virus or whatever, but they end up couldn't save him. But that's how they were all interlocked.
Okay, does it still have like the whole soul absorbing thing into the sword, or is that kind of overlooked?
Yeah, that part's over. It's not the whole, they don't absorb it, but it is very heavily like Shogun, you know, the blade is special and everything else, and she does talk to the blade, but there was no like absorbing of swords or souls or anything.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got here? We got Supergirl. right? Yeah, this is one of Brian's favorite episodes.
Yeah, he's been itching talking about it.
All right, let's just get it out of the way. Obviously, I took to our Facebook messenger. Here's what happened. I was watching the news about the election coverage, which is ad nauseum at this point.
Yeah, I think we're all just hoping this election ends soon.
Yeah, if it ended 2 seconds from now, it would be awesome. But yeah. Obviously, we still have another week to go.
Or it's either end or just go back to the primaries. I'm fine with either.
Well, as long as it lasts a day, I'd be fine with it. But beyond that, anyway, I went from that and I was like, okay, I'm sick of watching this. I need a release. I need a break. So, hey, I've got to watch Supergirl this week. So, okay, let's try, you know, nice break from reality. I'll watch Supergirl. And what do I get in Supergirl? The female president was cool. The fact that it was Linda Carter was cool. But the whole, I don't understand why anybody else would have voted for that other guy. And it's like, oh my God, really?
It was a small shot, admittedly.
Seriously? Come on, it's Supergirl. I want to be suspended from reality.
Yeah, it was.
I don't want to listen to the agenda of bullshit. And it is bullshit, by the way.
Okay, if we're being honest about, like, not to get too political, but people have been taking shots at Trump since, like, the 80s. Ever read old Bloom County, man?
I'm fine with it. But the problem, Aaron, is when I watched Supergirl, I went from watching the news bullshit to watching this. And I'm like, my God, they're trying to brainwash, the next generation.
So what it really is we've seen it so much that media is trying to push your way of thinking one way or the other. And it's...
Right.
It hasn't been this obvious ever before.
Yeah. Right. I think it took mild shots at Trump. And there was like one comment.
Look, I understand people don't like Trump. I don't like Trump either, but it's blatantly obvious that they're trying to get you to think one way.
Yes. So like, when you're watching the news coverage and you can see the media is going one way or the other. I mean, you can... And it's very painful to watch now because... You can see it. Before, you couldn't really see it, and there'd be subtle things. But now it's almost blatantly like,
oh yeah,
everything is pro Clinton or anti Trump or pro whatever it is. You can tell right from the get go what it is.
And it's not even if it's Clinton or versus Trump. If it's Trump or Clinton or Trump, it's the fact that they're trying to tell you what to think. That's my problem.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Now in TV shows, now you're starting to see it actually in the TV shows and stuff, and it's just like, really.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact Trump's put himself up there as an easy
fucking
target.
Again, no, it's not about Trump. It's about the media trying to tell you what to think. That's my problem. Think for yourself. Make up your own
decision. Supergirl is supposed to be in a different world.
Right.
A different universe.
I don't want to be reminded of reality. I'm trying to escape from reality for 30 minutes or whatever, however long the show is.
It's now.
It's like 40. It's off by like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I want my mind to go numb from reality.
Not only did they have that, but they also had the illegal immigrant issue they brought up.
That was a very politicalized.
And it was like
really.
Oh my God! Well, you know what's funny is Brian, how you mentioned, you know, you couldn't stand this stuff. I watched this episode.
Yeah.
And I felt that I was burnt out on TV. And I didn't watch any. I didn't watch Flash. I didn't watch Gotham. I didn't watch anything until like starting yesterday. 2 days. I was just like,
"You took a break.
I'm done with TV."
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. That episode of Supergirl.
Yeah.
Made me feel like I was burnt out and watching. I'm like, oh my God, I'm burnt out on TV. This was awful.
Yeah.
Well, admittedly, we are watching like 8 shows a week.
Right.
So, that has something to do with it, I'm sure.
But I was watching The Office, and I was binge-watching The Office, and I'm through season 4, like, almost through season 5. And I'm like, this is good. I watched this episode of Supergirl, and I couldn't get through The Office. I couldn't get through Westworld. I was like...
You just need to decompress.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I can't... I feel like I was burnt out.
It's just, they're trying to tell you how to think, and it's blatantly obvious.
I don't really look at this as them telling me how they want to think. It's, you have, like, the president who's clearly a Jackie Kennedy type.
That's fine.
Who's, you know, they still want to have that golden age Camelot bullshit.
Like I said,
but
that really wasn't so much issue. It's just, and it's not even if it's the Democratic view, it's not even if it's the Republican view. It's the fact that
there's any kind of view.
Any kind of view in there. Keep it out of it. Keep it out of, especially keep it out of Supergirl, for Christ's sake. If I want that, I'll turn on the news.
I would say it would be different if you were watching like Designated Survivor.
Right.
Or something that's a political, like a political show. And they make they take the jabs. Like,
and I expect that.
I don't know. Like, for me, I'm kind of, like, I'm used to sci-fi having political commentary.
Maybe.
Like, you look at how dystopian and, like, anti-corporate, like, a lot of sci-fi shows are.
Okay, maybe it depends on what you're, okay, maybe, like, if making Lex a corporate person or something like that.
Yeah, like, but I mean, or even if you look at, like, something like old school Star Trek, which I admittedly didn't really watch.
Well,
but
Star Trek's different. Star Trek's always been a reflection of...
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's very common in sci-fi to have political themes.
True. We just don't see it too often in, like...
It just feels like...
It's not as heavy in the superhero
show. It just feels like... Yep. Here's my problem, and it's an extension of what's happening with the American news media, probably. It's the fact that they used to report the news, and then they used to have the opinion separate. Now it's just opinion.
Well,
there
yeah.
is no news.
No, that's
there
fair
There is
on
no
news.
Facts. There is... It's just... Well, or I even, want you to think this way, and this is the agenda that I'm pushing.
Yeah, it's the op-ed. That's
right.
all it is.
That's all it is.
Or they're just doing, what do you think, and we'll report it back to you.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just garbage.
Oh, yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, like, you can make the argument that became a problem with the cable news cycle.
Well, yeah,
because
sure.
you pretty much had that
24-hour
news cycle that you had to fill with shit, but... You look at, like, by the time you hit 99 to 2000, you look at how Fox came into the scene with that. You look at how CNN and MSNBC yeah. reacted to Fox's popularity.
I know.
And that's what they did.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
And this is it on top of, you know, people kind of going into, you know, kind of echo chambers online in their own little social
sure.
groups. Yeah, it's definitely an issue.
But that's
the And thing. That's an issue, it's a legitimate issue to have with news outlets. I'm not sure if that's a frustration I would take out on this show specifically.
Well, I would because I feel like it's bleeding over. I think it's bleeding over into mainstream media.
Okay, so not with the Marvel or DC shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are very boisterous about who they're voting for, if they're Democratic or Republican or whatever, and they have control over their shows. Like their own TV shows, like Tim Allen, for example, on Last Man Standing,
mm-hmm.
he is so against Hillary and Obama that once an episode at least he'll throw a jab in there.
Right.
And like the Halloween episode that they just aired last week,
yeah,
he dressed up as Trump.
Oh, he did.
Because he's for Trump,
yeah.
and he's anti-Hillary,
See,
and he says, you know, he made funny lines. He was like, I'm here to make Halloween great again, and it was
funny.
It was funny, but some of his stuff is not fun. I mean, it is funny for the if you don't like whatever Kennedy's talking about.
That view, right?
But like some of the stuff is so, and you can tell it's one of those things. Like it's like really now you're going to start with that too. Like the whole like the cast of the Marvel trying to say you need to get out and vote for Hillary,
mm-hmm.
or now they got
precisely.
What's the guy's name?
Yeah, there was a lot of Marvel actors that
yeah.
actually came out.
What's the guy's name? The black guy with the really recognizable voice.
Oh, you're talking about
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Morgan Freeman. Now he does that commercial for Hillary.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's
and
been
I'm
a
like,
big Democrat for years.
Yeah, and it's like...
Like, he's, like, financially contributed to Democrats.
Oh, yeah, campaigns. I'm not saying anything. I realize everybody has their opinion, but all of a sudden now you're starting to see...
Well, you see that every presidential cycle.
Yeah, you're starting to see, like, all those people, like, really pushing. Like, you don't see it so much when it's not the election year or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But then all of a sudden, you see them coming out of the woodwork. I'm popular, so vote for this person.
But
at the same time, I'm not really against people doing that, like, in commercials and such, because you have some bit of fame. You want to affect something more than just making a check. Like, you want to be a positive influence in the world sort of thing. I get it.
But it's the news cycle. The same shit that's going on in the news cycle, in my opinion, is bleeding over into regular television shows.
Well, the thing is, like,
also bleeding over in social media, like nonstop.
Social media is just a shit show.
It's
what it is.
The social shit show.
Yeah.
Nice. The SSS.
But
social
anyway,
shit show.
If you ever have a political show, that's just going to be it.
Anyway,
it's the social shit show.
I don't want to turn this into a political show, but yeah, that was what happened to me, though, is I went from the news to this, and I saw that, and I'm like, oh my God,
well, yeah, but
are
I mean,
you kidding me?
You can go back to like the 80s and 90s, like you look at old SNL skits, you look at old like sitcoms, like you see,
but that's
you
political
see
satire.
Like political commentary pop up every...
Yeah, it's
4 or 5 years.
Well, and
or
it's been really bad this election with like
Oh yeah, this is just a shit election.
Yeah, like all the NBC, every show on NBC, whether it's a talk show or whatever, is all bashing Trump. It's all pro Hillary.
Oh yeah,
and it's just like, come on. It's weird
for an election to make you miss Romney and Gore.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, I do.
I have no problem with you making fun, but if you're going to do both sides, make fun on both sides
equally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't choose a side. And make it so blatantly obvious. Like,
I think you can make exceptions to that.
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
I will never watch his show again. Just because the way he does, he has portrayed his show, he's turned that show into a platform.
Yeah.
And it's
his show has always been a platform.
Yeah, but when he was on Comedy Central, he made fun of everybody.
Now that he's went to late night. Yeah, but
he has made that show, especially this election, he has made it so anti-Trump. It is not even funny.
If he was on Comedy Central still, he still would have gone that route. But it's Comedy Central.
I wouldn't care about that. This is late night. He has Obama on. He has Michelle Obama on. He has Hillary on.
Look at Colbert's own character, though. He was more or less making fun of Bill O'Reilly types.
And he was funnier when he did it.
He was a satire of right wing.
Exactly.
And he was funnier when he did that. This time he's not doing that. But anyway, I don't want to turn this into a political argument, but
we're not even really arguing politics. We're arguing media representation of politics.
Still, so yeah, that's what happened.
So that's why Brian didn't like the show. One of the reasons I didn't care for the show this week. I mean, all that aside,
right.
The guy who came in a Kryptonian pod wasn't even fucking Kryptonian.
Yeah, it was like their sister planet. And then it was this thing about subtle racism.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and it was like...
I was okay with it.
Your people, blah, 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 my people, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what?
And it was kind of out of character for her.
Yes. Yeah. It was like... okay.
But it's just, you could make that be like a thing of interpreting like her family's racism sort of thing, or like xenophobia, or whatever you want to call it.
Again, it was a reflection of the current political state. But anyway.
So that was why I didn't care for the show.
That was a reason why I stopped watching TV for two days.
Like, I literally, I didn't even turn my DVR on, nothing. I didn't
watch. I think some of the dialogue for that was really poor, but overall it's an interesting concept. Like, especially because I've never even knew, like, I don't even know if that's a thing that's in the comics at all, where, like, Krypton has a sister planet.
That was my other thing. That has never been brought up.
Like, right. And if
what was it called? Draxon?
Or yeah. Draxamite. Or something
Draxum.
Like that.
Draxum, and then he was a Draxamite.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Like, if that's a thing, like, what? That's... You should totally have been adding characters from that planet years ago.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying. Like,
if that was in the lore, that's fucking amazing.
They're like... Oh, that was the sister planet, and they were all about. They were the hippie planet, and they were all blah,
Krypton was a republic, and they were a monarchy. And it was like,
yeah,
okay, that's kind of interesting. No, like I think it has potential, to be honest.
And if they do something with it, fine. But for them to never have done anything with it before, and all of a sudden,
for her
to be that adamant about it, and we have never heard about it before.
If it's one and done, I'm going to be super pissed.
Oh, yeah. I'll see that way. No, like, that's something, like, I feel like you need to build on that. Like, that's an interesting addition to the DC Universe, because, or if it's there, man, I've never heard of that before.
That was my only gripe about it. I never got into
the Superman comics too heavily, so it might be there.
It's not in any of the Superman comics.
Really?
Yeah. And I really, that was my other downfall, was Superman wasn't in this episode, and it was just like, I think we're gonna miss him.
Well, if they keep this kind of crap up, it's gonna go down.
Don't get me wrong, like, he's a good portrayal of Superman, but I think you can have episodes without him fine.
Right, but the way I've read, I don't know if I posted it in our Midwest group or not, the article, and it said that
he's only contracted.
He was only contracted for those episodes in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Hopefully they'll rectify that quickly.
And that's what they said. They said if CW is any say, he'll be back for multiple episodes. But yeah. Since we did a couple DCs, let's go over to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you watch that one?
I did not this week, so...
So nobody watched it this week except for me?
Yeah.
Apparently.
But...
How's Ghost Rider going?
Okay, so Ghost Rider is badass. Mm-hmm. And I actually enjoyed it this week.
Like, I liked last week with the chain. I thought that was sweet.
It was a fairly decent episode. I mean, aside from the whole the ghosts thing, but the Ghost Rider,
Yeah,
it was. That was
his powers are pretty good.
It was pretty cool.
And like, is it a good addition to the show so far?
Yeah, and he went into the prison this time with them trying to break out his uncle, who happens to work with the ghosts.
The ghost people.
He was a scientist that worked with them, but he went to prison and they turned into ghosts at the whatever thing.
Okay.
So they're coming after him to try to get them to turn him back into regular people. I mean, there's a whole thing. He burns this guy up in a cell. And, I mean, it's like a fucking inferno. And it is just...
Yeah.
It is badass. And I will say that his transition from regular person to Ghost Rider...
It's better than the movies. I think so, too.
It's way better than the movies.
Well, the movies really weren't that great.
Yeah, but when you think about budget-wise...
Yeah, budget-wise, it should be better. But at the same time, like, the first Ghost Rider film was how many years ago?
It was a while ago. Yeah. But what I'm saying, just watching the transition. Like, so when Nicolas Cage would do it, it was like a instant woof, right? And this guy, you could see he fights with it, and like...
Yeah, you see pieces of his skin fall off.
Yeah. It burns off and it falls apart, and then you can see the flames come out, and then you can see his skull. So it's kind of
like the variations like in werewolf transformations. Like, you have some where it's like quick, easy, done, and the other ones where like you feel like the bones ripping out and like muscles tearing and changing. Painful transformations where you can see
the torment.
Yeah.
As he's
Becomes the Ghost Rider.
It's way better than the other one, I think. Now, in the last episode, I guess you watched last week's.
Yeah.
So in the last episode, you can see that the senator has an inhuman brother.
I don't think that's in last week's episode.
The woman? Senator.
Oh,
And she's at the house, and she tells her... She leaves the TV on for her brother.
That's right, yeah.
Who's in that stasis...
He was either that or he was just burned alive by somebody. But he could have been in the crystals or whatever.
Okay, so she's obviously anti-inhuman.
Right, because of it, yeah. At the very end, that's right. Yeah.
Right, and the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an inhuman.
Right, he's the Patriot, yeah.
Right, so they go on to... what is his name? Papadopoulos? Not Papadopoulos. What's the guy... News anchor on CBS.
Oh,
isn't it CBS?
Papadopoulos.
It's not Papadopoulos. Stephanopoulos.
Oh, George Stephanopoulos is on the show.
Really? George Stephanopoulos.
Really?
And they do like an interview, like a 3-interview panel.
Yeah.
And he's the one on the left talking to both of them who are remote.
That's kind of cool.
And and then they're going through the whole. Why are you against inhumans? Why are you for inhumans? Blah, blah, blah. And they go through the whole thing. Yeah. And then he was being... The leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. was being coached, right? And she gets to a question. And he turns off his earpiece and pulls it out and drops it. And then goes straight. And he's like, I'm for this because I am an inhuman, blah, 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 blah. And...
Really?
And so he comes out on national TV and everything else.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. He was hiding. He was supposed to be hiding it or whatever.
Yeah.
And they come off the thing and his ratings soar. Popularity soars. And
everybody's behind him.
Everybody's behind him. Well, then the last scene, she has footage. Because she's working the watchdogs who are after the Inhumans.
Right.
She's the one leaking all the information to him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is your people at the, this is your people at the prison.
Mm.
And
it shows the,
and it shows S.H.I.E.L.D. agents working with Quake.
Uh-huh.
And it shows Ghost Rider. And she's like, we're going to leak these in 30 minutes to ABC.
Oh, wow.
And he just gets this look on his face and he goes, what do you want?
So he's going to make a deal with the devil.
Exactly. So that's why I was going to ask you guys what you thought that deal was going to be. Like, what is her end game? What does she want? Because she's been working with the Watchdogs trying to get rid of them all. Yeah. Like, so she gets, because they all have that bracelet on, that tracking bracelet, so they know exactly where they are once they get that frequency.
If that's the case, I would say she's either going to try to use S.H.I.E.L.D. to take the Inhumans down, which I don't see the Patriot going along with, maybe at first, but not forever. It's going to put the Patriot versus Coulson, maybe, for a little while at first.
Okay.
So, yeah, I could see some interesting character dynamics going on.
And I was wondering, do you think she's Hydra? Or do you think they've gotten away with that? Like, they're done with that?
I think they're done. I think they'd be better off burying that for at least the rest of this season before they even think. I would only bring Hydra back if Red Skull makes an appearance again.
Well, he's never coming back.
Well, I think he's coming back, but it's going to be Phase 4 or something.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious if you thought it was going to be like she's actually Hydra and that's who's controlling the Watchdogs and trying to gain control again. And
yeah, it could be. I mean, I hope they don't. I kind of Hydra'd out.
Right. Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of out coming out, let's talk about Gotham.
Yeah,
this
really
was coming.
It's a little open. Like, it kind of got rid of the subtext, and I think it's actually kind of a good move for Gotham. Like, if you're going to go that route, don't just make it all innuendo.
I guess if you're going to do a modern Penguin, like I said, he's always been the aristocrat and high society, and
A different take on it, but like, when you're watching Gotham, you just kind of have to view it as like kind of an alternate universe sort of thing anyway, because it's done so many things that are more out of character than this.
What I was afraid of last week, at least it looks like they're using it as a subplot.
Yeah, they're actually using it.
It's not, they're not just making him that to gain brownie points, which is what I was afraid of. So
yeah, it's actually going into the storyline.
From that standpoint, okay, fine, whatever, I guess.
Well, so what it looks like to me is they're going to use this as the reason why Riddler and Penguin don't get along.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's the origin of like their hatred for each other, sort of.
Yes,
thing.
Because you know when you watch a lot of the stuff, the major villains don't usually get along.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They usually only come together to fight Batman or whatever. So I think this is kind of what it looks like to me, only because the way we saw the episode shape up, he was at home, you know, getting it all worked up in his mind that he was going to tell Nygma that he loved him and everything else, and you see Nygma at the store buying wine, obviously going to go back, possibly he was going to tell Penguin that he loved him, and then all of a sudden he sees that girl that looks just like Kringle. And all of a sudden, it's back again, and he feels that.
Not only that, but she also rings up like a riddle, right away.
She says the riddle, and he was like, and you could just sell. He was like, I like women again.
I just wonder though if that isn't a play by Butch, because she seems too perfect
for him. Yeah, she does.
She looks like Kristen Kringle, and she used a riddle. That's
I
mean,
I could definitely see that.
It could be a setup, but yeah. I think he's going to go back to Penguin with that girl.
Oh yeah.
And he's gonna see
Penguin's
gonna be like, well, but I love you, blah blah blah, and Penguin and Riddler's gonna be like, well, I love her, blah blah blah, and it's gonna start that
hatred. To like figure out, well, what's Penguin's reaction to that scenario? Like, does he kill her? Does he kill Riddler?
He's not gonna kill anybody, but his whole, if you remember, like the other episode, his whole thing was he wanted to be loved, he wanted to be liked, and now the one person that he thought had his back, that loved him back, doesn't love him.
Another betrayal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
is that setting up Penguin up for like another rampage?
Yes, I think it's setting Penguin up to be the vicious Penguin that he, because if you think about it, he's running for mayor, kind of subdued him a little bit.
Well, yeah, like he's working dual roles, so it kind of, he can't be as openly vicious.
Right, but I think this is going to send him over the top.
We'll see. I'd prefer him to go more down the aristocratic road, but I've been saying that for a while, so, but we'll see what we get.
I don't know, I think he's kind of done that to an extent. Like, you have the parentage thing, and then you have like him running for like mayor, trying to have like a legitimate position like in society.
I guess I kind of miss the classic Penguin talk, which is, always has that upper crust kind of look down on people, kind of, because that's what he
Well, I mean, he kind of had that. Like, if you look at how he's talking, like, to the one, like, maid that he has in the house.
That's true. That's
you need to learn a language. You need to learn language.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm going to enroll you in the ESL program. If you're going to work here, you should learn the language.
Okay, yeah, that like, could be a good start. You do have,
like, that to an extent.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Hello?
That's a surprise appearance by my daughter, Gabby. All right, you got to say hi. There you go. All right, moving on, Brian.
All right, we're in movie news.
Okay.
The director of Deadpool 2, Tim Miller, left over creative differences with Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposedly it was also differences with the other two writers on the staff as well, and apparently the studio ended up backing Reynolds and the writers on the split.
Right. Well, and it's one thing because Reynolds knows the character so well, and they feel that he's in touch with what the fans want. Mm. Miller wanted to go his own way.
Well, yeah. What Miller wanted to do was more or less make it more of a big-budget kind of action film, which is... And Reynolds and the writers kind of wanted to keep it more low-budget, kind of a raunchy kind of comedy, parody sort of thing. Which is funny because you look at Miller's, like, what he wanted to do with, and it's almost like he wanted to make Deadpool the same sort of film they were kind of lampooning a little bit in the first film. So it's an interesting sort of split, and I understand why the studios went with the lower budget option.
Well, yeah, obviously. There was a petition online to get Quentin Tarantino to direct, and it surpassed its goal by a lot. I think they were looking to get 100,000 signatures or something.
That would be such a mistake.
And they ended up getting,
I hadn't considered that, but I actually would be for that.
I would not.
The only problem you might have with that is that it might go too far.
Yes, very much so.
Especially once, if you have like TJ Miller, Ryan Reynolds, and Tarantino all like shooting things back and forth about how they want to go with it. It's just, they're all trying to up each other in that scenario.
Well, first of all, to be realistic, Tarantino's only going to do maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 more movies if we're lucky, because he does his own stuff. He takes his time to develop it and write. I just don't see him doing. Jumping over to
it would be an unusual shift.
I just don't see it. I could be wrong. Hopefully I am. But.
Well, I think you are going to be wrong. Because the new rumor is that they've already signed on the co-director of John Wick.
Really?
To come over to direct the new.
Oh, for the action scenes, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about John Wick. I haven't seen him, but yeah.
You haven't seen John Wick yet?
No.
I haven't seen the sequel.
Well, the sequel's not out yet.
Oh.
They just started filming. But the original John Wick was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I've heard that. It was a pleasant surprise, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Black Panther set to start filming in January in Atlanta. Are we excited? Yes or no, or why?
I didn't realize it would be filming in Atlanta. That's kind of an interesting choice. I actually kind of assumed they'd be filming out country.
Yeah. Well, they might. Well, they might be filming the city scenes in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And then they might go abroad to film the rest of it.
Yeah.
So you guys are excited for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially his home when we got to see at the end of...
T'Challa?
Obviously that's... CG, so I don't know if we'll see a whole lot in there. I'd like to see him come back to the States anyway and fight something out in the States.
What was the name
of it? No, I'm not excited for it. No.
I am.
This makes the second one that I'm not really excited for, because I'm not really excited for Strange either.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Strange looks amazing.
Yeah, that looks like Inception gone wild to me. But
that looks Marvel origin film, and then you just make it as weird and trippy as possible. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a dive into the whole mysticism thing. I think it has the potential to turn the entire Marvel universe, cinematic universe, on its head.
Yeah.
Depending on where they go and how they go with it, and what dynamic that's going to add to the Infinity War, if at all, I don't know. I know Doctor Strange is in Infinity War, so
I don't know. But I mean, if we're talking about like Black Panther as well, like you get to see like kind of where that picks off from after Civil War. You get to have like, you know, Black Panther's like home country, like his, you know, being a ruler and being like a superhero dynamic. You're kind of building out like the entire world and that they live in a bit more.
Yeah, I mean you're expanding the Marvel universe with both films.
Yeah,
and I can see how that's going to be a good thing for the Marvel universe, because you don't want it so narrow that you're binding yourself, so you're expanding it out, because obviously those characters will interact with other characters that you don't have yet, so potential for more movies in Phase 15 or whatever they decide to do. My thing is just looking at the casting and stuff, and I'm not that thrilled with it. I wasn't that thrilled with Luke Cage as I thought I was going to be. You know, after seeing Daredevil and Jessica Jones, watching Luke Cage, I wasn't finished.
Thing I could have an issue with Black Panther film is if they don't cast a good villain, because this has been an issue in multiple Marvel films where you have a generic villain who's really forgettable. Because if you look at Civil War, Black Panther was amazing in that film. But if they don't cast like a decent villain to make like an interesting contrast, or to kind of set up like an interest, like decent fight scenes, or you know, just have an interesting character that you can remember, then yeah, it's going to be another Marvel film. And to be honest, that's actually a concern I had with Doctor Strange as well. And
I think Mads is going to do fine.
I like the bits we've seen of him actually makes me think he will be somewhat more memorable than like the blue guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that was a really bad.
Which is funny because it's a great film, but it's a really boring villain.
I agree, because they don't give him any screen time. That there's no backstory, really.
Not really.
About this much, you know. So
yeah, like the couple of villains that we do like, you know, they're not even using them to the full potential. Like Red Skull, could have been a fantastic villain.
Yeah,
I still think they're saving him or something.
Or Loki.
Yeah, I'm amazed they haven't brought Loki back in more.
Like, Loki was a fantastic villain, and it's
he's
like,
the only memorable real villain.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, you're setting up Thanos, who's kind of memorable, but only because he's just the T scenes.
Right.
And that's it.
Right, and you're like, the other villain is like Ultron, and that's only because they named the movie after him. That's the only reason why we remember his name.
I think Ultron would have been better at the end, as much as I like James Spader, and I love James Spader in Blacklist, but he was not a good choice to play Ultron.
I don't know. I think he was an okay choice for Ultron. It's just you have too much going on in that film, like to really make it like build up any form of tension.
That's why I'm worried about Infinity Wars. Is you have 63?
Possibly
63. How do you fit that in without him?
All being cameos.
Hopefully they are, because you're gonna have to give Thanos some screen time in order to make him memorable.
A little bit, yeah. Especially because you've been setting him up since for so long.
Yeah.
Right. Going over to the DC side, the new Wonder Woman trailer is rumored to be with the Fantastic Beast or Doctor Strange. You have rumored to be, is it 2.24 minutes long?
2 minutes, 24 seconds.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. That's cool.
It's an extremely long trailer.
That is.
It's a moderately long trailer. I mean, it's not like... Well, like if you look at like the last Guardians of the Galaxy teaser trailer, that's like a minute 29.
Right, but for a DC film, and we've already seen the teaser trailers for them and the international trailer, and we want to see it. Like, it looks that good. For them to come out with one that's 2 minutes and 24, it's like...
Well, this might be the...
Hopefully we don't see too much extra in this.
It could be maybe they added some extra stuff because the Guardians trailer leaked or came out or released earlier or whatever. They're just like, oh, we see what you did there, Marvel. We're going to try to counter for our own move.
I hope that's not the case. I hope this is more like the latest Rogue One trailer we got, where we get more story.
Right,
so far, we've just been getting highlights of what the movie, like quick glimpses.
Yeah.
So far the trailers for Wonder Woman have looked amazing, so... I'm kind of cool with seeing more clips.
I think it's more fan hype, though, right now. It's fan hype build-up. We don't really know what the story... We've got maybe about... 2% I have an idea of what the story is about right now.
Well, it seems like it's going through kind of a basic, her introduction to the world of humanity.
The world of man.
And then it's like, you're not quite sure where it goes into the World War One scenario.
That's why if it is 2 minutes, 24 seconds, to me that says storyline.
Mm.
At least I don't know.
And of the two listed, I would think it'd be Fantastic Beasts, because I don't see it going with Doctor Strange, a Marvel movie.
I don't know. They
being DC.
Like, it's not something they would necessarily pair, but at the same time, that might be the studio's choice on what trailers go before it. And that might track the same demographics.
Right, but typically they won't cross.
Right.
Like, the only one they've crossed thus far was we saw Star Trek before Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was the only trailer that's kind of like crossed like that that line in the sand of, you know, where you have the Trekkies and the Star Wars fans. That,
right.
Well, yeah, but you had Abrams that was on both reboots, right, so that kind of makes sense.
That's recent history, right? So that's where things, that line has started to blend.
Right. But like, as far as Marvel and DC, they haven't put a Marvel in front of a DC or a DC in front of a Marvel yet.
Yeah, but also, I mean, Fantastic Beasts is a Warner Brothers film, and that's also the company working with DC, so right. That makes sense.
Yeah. What do we got here? Brian, you want to talk about this last thing?
Okay, so there was an interview with Adam West, who, if you don't know, played Batman in the Batman series. The real
66.
The 66, the corny Batman.
He also plays the mayor on South Park.
Yes, he does. But he's also...
That's on Family Guy.
His claim to fame is...
I thought he does South Park, too.
No, he's not the mayor on South Park.
Okay, so he's the mayor.
He has a female mayor.
He's the mayor on Family Guy.
He is. But his claim to fame is obviously playing Batman in the 60s. Batman. Okay. So
the one with the pow. Yeah, bam. Yeah.
Right. So he was interviewed recently, and they asked him if he would do a cameo in the upcoming Ben Affleck's movie, The Batman. What would he like to do? Instead of a cameo, he kind of described a scene where he said he would like to play the ghost of Thomas Wayne, which would be Bruce's father, obviously.
Yep.
Come back to help Bruce solve something he can't solve on his own.
Right.
So he would play the role of Thomas. Now, obviously, we've already seen another actor play Thomas Wayne in this lineup of Batman, but still, it was not that I think it would ever happen.
Who's currently on The Walking Dead playing Negan.
Right. So, not that I think we would ever see this happen, but it does bring up the question, what do you guys think of Adam West doing something like this? Buy or sell, I guess.
I'm selling.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't want him to do that specifically. I wouldn't mind seeing him like as another role in the series. Like, if you at some point wanted to make him be like Alfred... Like, okay, we can see where that goes.
I don't know if I want to see him play Alfred.
Oh, it'll be campy, but let's see.
So I
like Jeremy Irons better, sorry.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind seeing him as a cameo, kind of like a Stan Lee kind of cameo type thing, just a nod. But no way do I want him any type of role, like major role in this movie.
I'm fine with him having roles.
Nope.
Thomas Wayne is that great role.
He was good for that show, that 60s show, whatever.
Yeah.
But he is not. He is not a current movie actor. Even if they came up with an animated thing and he did a voiceover for that.
Is that out yet, or is that like out in a couple weeks?
It's out. Comes out soon.
Okay. Because that actually does look kind of funny. Like, right. I'm actually looking forward to that.
And it basically goes off the same.
Yeah, it's like the same 60s show.
Yeah, and that's the kind of even when he. I don't know if you guys watch Comic Book Men on AMC.
I've seen a few episodes.
I've seen one episode.
Okay, yeah. So he comes on there a lot.
Does he? Yeah.
And you could just tell he's not, we'll say up with the times.
Mm.
Yeah.
So for him to say he wants to be the ghost of Thomas Wayne just shows you that he's not in touch with the way the things, when have you seen a ghost? And, this isn't Scooby-Doo. This isn't like,
I don't know.
Oh, where do they put the peanut butter?
In Batman vs. Superman, you had enough prophetic dreams, you could probably fit it in. Like, realistically, if you wanted to.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Even that was kind of a weird twist.
I think the point was, is he wants to be taken more. He wanted to be serious. Be a serious and not just a...
He wanted to actually have a role and not just... Like
right,
a, yeah.
Right. So.
And I would much rather see him as a cameo.
I would too.
Even if he's like the postman, or he's the cab driver... Or something.
I'd like to see him like as a in the toy shop holding like a Batman figure.
Yeah, Batman, like you don't want to see him be like a low level Batman villain,
or have him say something, holy rusted battle metal Batman. Yeah,
he wouldn't say that because that was Robin's line,
right? But something along those lines.
But that would be awesome. Like it would be bad. It would be like that's a good point. Maybe he could be in the toy shop and he's holding the Batman figure. And he hits, like, the Joker figure, and he's like, bam, pow.
Pow, yes.
You know, something like that. That would be awesome.
Or call somebody old chum, because mm-hmm. that's what he used to say in the series all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I agree. All right, guys, anything else to talk about?
I think that's it.
I think we've covered it all for another week of shows. You know, so be sure to reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out to us on Facebook, email. Just go ahead and Google 4 Midwest Guys, and it'll pull up all of our information. I believe this will be podcast number what, Brian? 107?
Yeah. Because we had 106, so this will be 107.
107. So, yes. I mean, we passed the century mark, and we didn't even realize it.
I didn't even realize it. So, my fault, but yeah, we have we brought the century mark. Most shows don't even get past 100 episodes. So, well done, gentlemen. Congratulations, and to you, Brian, to you, Aaron, to myself, and to John, who's not with us today, but and even to Brian Burchie, who was the elusive fifth Midwest.
The fifth Ford Midwest guy?
Yeah. So, yeah. So.
Awesome.
Excellent.
So we'll see you guys next week, where hopefully we're not burnt out on shows and stay away from the...
hopefully the election is come and gone and that'll be the end of it.
Oh, we hope so.